Welcome to the Progressive Property Podcast, helping you invest in property for freedom, choice, and profit. You'll learn new, innovative, and multiple streams of property income, whether you want to start, scale, or systemize, and even if you don't have deposits.
Hi, Kevin McDonald here, and welcome to the Progressive Property Podcast. On this week's episode of the podcast, I'm joined by Lucy Ingram. Now, Lucy's doing some awesome stuff in property at the moment with her partner, Steph, and I'm going to dig deep into what they're up to. So, Lucy, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Kevin. It's a pleasure to be here.
You are. So, tell us a little bit, Lucy, about your property. When did you get into property? How long ago was it? When was that moment you decided, do you know what, I'm going to try property investing, or is it something you've always done?
No, so I still very much consider us like at the beginning, although it is banging on the door now to nearly 3 years, which is crazy. So Steph and I were both serving in the military, so I've actually just left after 21 years serving in the Royal Navy. And I guess really there was a bit of a catalyst where I'll try and cut a very long story short, but we were spending lots of time apart. Steph deployed over to the other side of the world a couple of years ago, back in 2018. And it was only meant to be for 2-3 months. It was a little jolly around the Mediterranean, or so it was meant to be. And then a month into the trip, I got a phone call to say that actually that trip had now been extended to nearly a year. So they're off to the Far East for a year apart. So all of a sudden, alone, without a purpose, having to kind of deal with, the whole year that we had planned was now up in the air. For those that know us, know that we like adventure, we like, traveling, we go snowboarding, we surf. And it kind of became quite obvious that we were spending way too much time working and not spending time together, and we needed to do something about that. So in a nutshell, Steph found property. She started listening to you guys, obviously, of course. It was the 101 Secrets from Robert Mark. Started just absorbing the information, everything that was free that we could get our hands on. And she started spitting out terms to me like leverage and compound interest and how these things were going to change our lives. So we jumped in headfirst. I mean, your course, Kevin, was the first one that we did. We wanted to start exploring creative wealth building strategies and how we could use property to help us do that. And the last 2.5 years since that moment has been pretty full on. And just a little caveat, that's not a rug in the background, that's a French bulldog. For anyone that was thinking that, I've got another one that's roaming around, so hopefully they don't start wrestling during our recording.
That would be awesome if they do. Start a little dog fight in the background, it'd be great. So
a bit of extra entertainment in the background.
So you did rent-to-rent the Nomini down training with me. When was that? How long ago?
Steph went away in 2018. She got back at end of that year. We then we got our first buy to let, paid market value, probably paid over. And then it was kind of that summer of 2019. We did Masopi. You were on the stage. Yeah, we kind of resonated with everything that you were saying straight away. We knew that we needed to kind of get ourselves educated and just, more importantly, surround ourselves with people that were doing the same thing that we wanted to do. So we did your masterclass. And I know it's cliche and, life-changing, but it was. We just took massive action. From the end of that 3 days, we that was it. We were just right, head first, dive in, let's go, let's do this.
So for anybody listening to this, where are you based?
So me and Steph are based down in the beautiful ocean city that is Plymouth. So way, way down in the southwest of the UK. So Steph's currently still serving in the military. I'm now left. I've gone full time into property. Plymouth is our area and surrounding areas of Plymouth.
So you live in Plymouth, invest in Plymouth.
Yeah, we've got kind of one or two properties from, just the being accidental landlords from being in the military and being moved around all over the country. We invest and this is our place.
Right. What type of deals have you been working on? What have you done? So since sort of 2019, where have you gone? How have you grown the business?
So, like I mentioned, we, you know, after the masterclass, No Money Down, we just took massive action, and we got, you know, we got ourselves a really great team around us, and we actually scaled from zero to 50 professional HMO units in that 6 month period straight after. So obviously COVID was going on in the background, so a little bit of a whirlwind. We pushed on. We took a couple of SAs on as well. After kind of about a year of doing that, we added some rent to rent SA to the portfolio, and in essence, we replaced my income from the military, and in turn that was kind of the catalyst of us, well, me putting my notice in to leave and go full time. And as you said, I think back on the Masopi, you know, kind of building the parachute, you know, getting ready to jump, and that's what we did. I was listening, and that stayed with me for, you know, that stayed with me for the last kind of 2.5 years really. So we did that. We built my parachute. We got ready to, you know, for me to leave. In the meantime, you know, we had the rent to rent business that was kind of going really well. But you know, also on the flip side of it, we invested quite heavily into just the principles of living, you know, trying to spend less than we earn, avoiding bad debt, and just saving and investing as much as we could into assets. So that was kind of the principles that we wanted to live by and move forward with. So yeah, we, you know, it was a little bit of a whirlwind with the rent to rents. I'm not going to lie, we scaled pretty quickly, and we had loads of lessons off the back of that. I think in hindsight, you know, we did scale probably a bit quicker than we were ready to at the time. So I think what that meant in contrast is we didn't really have the time to reflect on the mistakes. We just kept making some of them again and again. But, you know, ultimately, yeah, and there was lots of growing pains. So, yeah, kind of fast forward to last year, and we completed on our first commercial to residential conversion project. So £1.4 million GDV project down here in Plymouth. We'd kind of gone from rent to rent. We built the foundations, we built the confidence. We were still making mistakes, but I think you're always making mistakes, and that's where you grow. But we'd had the confidence, and it had given us the platform that we needed to kind of to kick on to the next kind of rung in the ladder, I guess. So we took that on. We converted an old care home, about 500 metres square, into 6 apartments and a separate coach house. It took us a year to do it, you know, and it's probably fair to say that I was in my element at the time. It was definitely kind of finding, like, this is it. This is what we kind of want to move forward with. We sold them all off plan. So we invested quite heavily into the marketing side of things. We knew the power of marketing, but also like social media and kind of just getting your message out. We kept one of them for ourselves, the best one. So we brought that into the investment portfolio. And that kind of completed back in June. So, you know, that definitely took up the most of our kind of mental capacity. And again, lots of lessons learned on that. And we've tried to share that with, you know, people that follow us and within our network, you know, just to try and help other people not make the same mistakes that we made. And I do really, truly believe in that. So, yeah, at the minute.
What sort of profit from that deal? So it took you 12 months, commercial conversion. What you sold them or kept one.
The profit
just the keeping of the one, or did you make money from the others as well, or is there still a mortgage on the one? I guess a little bit on the
yeah. So we made kind of pre-tax circa 200 was the kind of profits made off that
200 pounds
200,000.
I know.
So yeah, it was but don't get me wrong, you know, there was lots of, you know, kind of lots of challenges along that way, and but what that did, you know, allowed us to bring the flat that we kept, the apartment that we kept, into the investment company. So we were able to buy that one through intercompany loans and bring it across. So yeah, I mean, pre-tax it was, you know, kind of circa 200, so not bad for a year's work.
Better than a military income.
Yeah, 100%. And not only that, it was, you know, despite the challenges, it was definitely kind of finding the mission, finding the purpose, finding that ikigai of, you know, something that you're good at, something that, you know, serves a purpose and you can earn money. But it's it was just a kind of just exactly where we wanted to be.
I always say to people that property investing is not easy, but it's easier than a job. So when you talk about a lot of challenges, was it more or less challenging than the military?
I think that the difference is when you know it's for your own gain and it's for your own future, and you're kind of, you know, you're building your future and you're striving for yourself, and everything that you do in turn, you know, you're going to gain from. I think that's the difference. And, you know, I think, you know, working with other people, working with the trade, working with other investors, getting to work with, you know, people that, you know, wanted to invest into us, and, you know, creating new beautiful homes for people, just, you know, even though the worst challenges are far, far outweighed, you know, those challenges that we faced.
There will be people watching this, actually, Lucy, that'll say, that's great for you because you did this commercial conversion deal, but you obviously had money. So did you use your own money for that deal, or did you raise joint venture finance, private investor finance? How did you fund it?
So primarily it was, we got commercial finance with private investment funds and some of our own skin in the game. So we did, you know, we did invest some of our own money, not a massive amount, but it was primarily built up of commercial finance with private investment. So we, you know, we did some simple loan agreements. We did some earn and learns on that as well, which was, you know, something that I really, really enjoyed. You know, get to bring people on board with the journey. They got to learn and piggyback the experience whilst getting really good returns as well. So an absolute win-win in my eyes. But yeah, it was a mixture.
Have you got more planned?
Well, so at the minute we're kind of going through conveyancing on a mixed use property at the minute. So two shops, two commercial units on the ground floor, and then four residential flats on the top. I guess the difference with this one is this one's fully tenanted. So, you know, this one's kind of working for us from day one. It's cash flowing from day one, but it's got loads of scope for us to come in and, you know, kind of either redevelop it at the back, because there's lots of communal space at the rear of the property that we could build on, and, you know, or even just kind of one by one refurb the apartments and add the value that way. So yeah, that's kind of going through at the minute, and hoping to get that over the line in the next month or so.
Awesome. So is there a plan to get Steph out of the military as well, or is she going to continue? What's the plan there?
Yeah, no, definitely the plan is to get Steph out. She hasn't quite done as long as me in terms of, like, so for me, when I left, it was probably worth saying as well, I kind of got to the point where I'd secured my pension. So, you know, in the military, if you do a certain amount of time, you know, you can secure your pension. So I'd got to that stage, and we purposefully, you know, kind of got them to run alongside each other. So I'd leave when that was readily available for me. And then, so Steph's got about another 5 years until she's at that point. So yeah, I guess, you know, The absolute goal is to, over the next 5 years, get to a position where, you know, Steph can leave, and, you know, we've replaced both of our incomes, you know, and we've got assets that are allowing us to do the things that we want to do together, and buy that time back, which is what it's all about.
For the rent-to-rent stuff, your HMOs, your SAs, are you continuing to grow that on the same side? Have you completely moved over now to commercial?
So to be honest, we've done a bit of a 360 on that. So we've now given our properties, the ones that we own, to rent-to-renters on long-term leases, because we see, as the landlords, the absolute value that that brings. So we kind of made a conscious decision that we wanted to focus wholeheartedly on, you know, the development side of the business and bringing in assets then into, you know, the company. So, you know, we wanted to be as passive as we possibly could with the rest of the portfolio. So, yeah, we've done a 360. We did kind of 2 years, 2.5 years worth of full throttle rent to rent and understanding the business and how it works. But yeah, you know, we got to a point where we know the absolute kind of, it's invaluable to have somebody that takes over your property, keeps it to a good standard, takes up all the stress, and yeah, it is actually passive.
This is really interesting. Going to dig into this, because you've gone from a person that was taking properties on guaranteed rent and renting them out to being the person who's giving them to somebody on a rent to rent. So we do have a lot of people listen to this and they think rent to rent, why would a landlord do that? I don't know, why do they not just rent it themselves, or why do they not just use a letting agent? Why would they give it to somebody on a rent-to-rent basis? So from your point of view, and it's rarely we meet a landlord, because usually I've got people on here that are doing rent-to-rent, not necessarily somebody who's giving them. So from a landlord's perspective, why, for somebody who's looking to do rent to rent and they want to sit into the mind of a landlord, why as a landlord would you consider rent to rent? What's the big benefits for you? Just to show people, I guess, that are listening from the landlord perspective, the benefits for the landlord.
Well, I mean, you know, for us, it was, you know, kind of, it was an easy decision. You know, did we want to be the hare or did we want to be the hound or the rabbit or whichever the analogy is? And, you know, rent to rent or running properties on the, you know, at the tactical level, being the boots on the ground is definitely not easy. You know, it's not easy. It's tough. And, you know, for us, you know, having, you know, truly understood what was involved, you know, it was very easy for us to think, well, actually, why wouldn't we, you know, agree on a price that's win-win for everybody? We trust, know and like the person that's taken over our properties. They're taking away all of our headaches. We're getting a really good price. And we know that our properties are being looked after. So for me, that, you know, for what we're kind of striving for is, you know, that side of the, you know, the coin being passive, there isn't anything really more passive than that. And I think as long as you've got, you know, the right agreements in place, then, you know, it's, I just think it's absolute win-win.
For people who do property and they think, you know what, I listen to a podcast or I've read a book and I do property alone. I don't need support. I don't need other people. I can do it myself. How important to for you has not just the education, but also the, I guess the thing that many people miss about is the people that you meet in the training room when you're getting educated. So how important, I guess, is the education to you? And secondly, yeah, how important has the people that you've met been to you on your journey?
Yeah, I mean, everyone says it, and again, it's a little bit of a cliche, but, you know, property is a people person, a people business. And, you know, I truly kind of believe that. I think coming from a military background of having that kind of sense of belonging, the sense of teamwork, sense of community, actually, I was quite worried, you know, when I was kind of getting ready to leave the military and kind of move across into full-time property. But I've just, it's been replaced, not replaced, but I've got now a whole nother community and family and support network around me. And, you know, it takes a little while to build that up, I think, and go into, you know, kind of masterminds. You know, it's such a great place to start. And even if you're traveling, you know, from other ends of the country, which in you know, kind of more often than not I am, being down here in Plymouth, you know, it's invaluable. And you know, and also kind of concentrating on that network around you and your area as well. And, you know, most days this week I'm out meeting somebody, you know, whether it's kind of agents that I've built up relationships with now that, you know, we're actually on, you know, almost like friends, really, just kind of, you know, kind of keeping those relationships going, other people doing, you know, developments in similar positions, you know, professionals in the industry that, you know, you're all kind of helping each other. You're all pulling in the same direction to achieve, you know, a goal. And it's, yeah, and I think, you know, sitting around the table, you know, I come to the academy once a month, you know, and you just hear what other people are doing, their challenges, their successes, you celebrate together. And, yeah, you're always kind of learning. There's always that kind of growth that's happening. And I think if you ever kind of pulled yourself back from that, I think it would be a real shame.
Do you think that you'd be doing the type of deals you're doing now had you not had Steph find the property?
I don't know. It's difficult to say. I guess everything kind of happens for a reason, doesn't it? And we certainly had a catalyst. You know, Steph was on the other side of the world. I just actually had a really nasty snowboard accident. So I was having shoulder surgery. I was, you know, one arm, lost without a purpose. And it was like that sliding doors moment where we realised we need something. What can we do that we can do alongside our, you know, military careers or 9 to 5 or whatever, that we can build up that kind of network around us, get educated in something completely new. And, you know, there's so many different strategies and, you know, of property that can get you to where you want to get to. You're not always going to find it straight away. And I think that's something that we kind of focused on, that, you know, it's not necessarily just going to be one strategy and that'll be it. You know, it was the principles of living and investing on the side, but just kind of being open and just seeing where the opportunities take you. And long may that continue with property.
With the current market, a lot of people worried about interest rate rises. A lot of people worried about will there be a property crash, etc. What's your thoughts? What's your plan? And I guess how has your mindset changed around from maybe 5 years ago to be able to deal with the current environment?
Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously there's a lot of kind of scaremongering going on in the news. And I think, you know, it's kind of easy to get yourself down a rabbit hole of like negativity and doom and gloom. You know, obviously we are moving into a different chapter at the minute. You know, property is cyclical. We know that. But ultimately, I think if you just keep on track with the basic fundamentals, buy the right properties at the right price, and you've got multiple exit strategies that you know you can kind of, you know, get yourself out of, and you do the right due diligence. We're not stopping, we're not holding back. We're kind of getting out and about. Like I said, reestablishing the relationships with the agents. You know, thinking more about maybe kind of B2B and how we can, get in front of maybe motivated sellers and
There they go.
There's somebody at the door. But buying right, having the right people around you, having a positive mindset, not having the news on 24/7, and keep your goals focused and just stay clear. That's kind of our mindset on it.
So if people want to follow you, reach out, see what you're up to, how can they get in touch with you? How can they follow your journey? If they want to know more and keep track of where Lucy and Steph are going to in the business.
So we're on all the kind of platforms, Facebook and Instagram. I think my handle on Instagram is Lucy_Ride. So ride is our mantra, enjoy the ride, and the Shackhead, anyone knows me will know that that's kind of linked firmly to us. You can get me on all the socials, LinkedIn, all of them.
Awesome. Appreciate you coming on, Lucy, sharing your journey. You've done awesome stuff in the last couple of years in property, obviously replacing your own income, working towards Steph's now, doing some work, doing these big deals. Let us know what happens on this commercial conversion deal and the numbers on it. And when you get the deal, maybe get you back on here again once that deal is done and you've got others in the pipeline. And we'll see where you're at in another 12, 18 months, 2 years' time. But really appreciate you taking the time to come on today. You've been listening to the Progressive Property Podcast. I've been Kevin McDonald. Lucy Ingram has been Lucy Ingram. And Steph, who introduced her to property, is the one that's still in the military. Lucy's got the freedom. Let's see the next time we get her back on if they both got the freedom from that job as well. And we shall see you next week.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, Kevin.